All right, so it's season three, man. Man Talk 2 podcast. And you got my host over here next to me, Slick Rick. I'm pointing this way.
I'm about to say, watch you point the wrong way.
Point that way.
Yeah.
Hey, look here, man. It's season three. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us for the last two seasons. Hopefully, we blow your expectations. We're trying to get it up and running again this year, this season, I meant to say. So, let's get into it, man.
Y'all know me. I'm back for the foolishness.
For the real talk. For the foolishness. Hey, look. Let's get right into it. So, I got two things I want to talk about today. Two. So, the last one is going to be well-known, publicized topic that everybody's talking about right now in the news. Now, over the summer, we had a lot of stuff happen and go down and blah, blah, blah. Everybody know Dion went out to Colorado and turned the program around, doing his thing, shining, overhauled the roster, told motherfuckers, you know, hey, what? Y'all had one win last year. Some of y'all going to have to get up out of here.
I'm bringing my Louis.
I'm bringing my Louis with me. I'm bringing my boy with me. He going to be the quarterback. Hands down, no questions asked. Don't even talk about no competition at the quarterback spot because he's going to be the man. But before we get to that, let me turn left real quick. So, Jeezy and Jenny, is it May or Mai?
Jenny May? I think it's May.
Yeah. Jenny May, after 2 years of divorce, I mean of marriage, they get a divorce. They had a kid. Girl didn't have a kid with the first person she was with. I think she was married to that dude, wasn't she?
I don't even know.
She was either married to him or they was engaged or something. But,
yeah, something
hey,
like
bro,
that.
Jeezy. Everybody professing they love. This is the first thing, the best thing ever happened. You know, I feel alive. I feel like I'm a new woman. I'm a new man. She got my back. I got his back. Blah, 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 so forth and so on. After 2 years and a kid, it's a wrap. Now, Rick has said this on multiple times on this show. Women usually file for divorce when they had it enough. 85 to 95% of divorces are filed or papers are started or whatever by the woman.
So imagine how crazy she had to be for him to say, fuck this, I'm done.
He is not crazy.
No, I'm saying imagine how crazy she had to be in order for him to say, fuck it,
right.
I'm done.
So I'm like, bruh, how bad was it? She making her money. She out here grinding. She got her talk show going on. She doing this and that and other. He out here doing his thing. I don't know if they still putting out albums, records, or CDs, or whatever they do now.
He had one come out, I think, last year.
Okay. I mean, he's still a popular guy. He's still out there, you know, doing his thing, getting his business, handling his business. They got a baby involved now. And I read this Twitter quote saying that she was toxic as fuck. She was talking crazy to him. She was the instigator for all the shit that was going on in their relationship.
Hey, I'm finna start the season off right with a quotable here.
Well, let's go with it.
Prime example of why you don't date a woman of another race, whether she be white, Chinese, whatever. Right? Hold on. No.
Oh my God. Let me go there.
No, because you know I'm all about. Hey, I need me a phone.
Here we go.
But don't date one that's all in tune with the black culture. Like she got too many black friends. That's a red flag.
What sense do that make, Rick? You want somebody that's identifies your culture.
Hey, I don't know, Lee.
They can get out with your culture.
Look. I don't want a white girl that's rocking Forces. I want her to have on sandals and flip flops and shit.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? I want her to have on sandals and flip flops, not rocking Forces and hoodies.
Nah. you want that woman or that guy to at least acknowledge and recognize your culture and where you came from and what you went through to get where you at now. You want that in life. To at least, I understand it.
Look, she can recognize it, but she ain't got to have all of them as friends because then she going to try to and call it personal experience. But the ones that got all the black friends or whatever, they try to act like they from the hood too. And it's like, bitch, if I want that,
but you can check that though.
I date me a sister if that's what I was looking for.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
So she is calling this man all outside his name, talking crazy to him, doing this, that, and the other, and she just is just overboard with it.
You know she's trying to contest the divorce. She's saying
that. Of course she is.
She want to work it out.
Course she do.
Part of the story that I read is her mother has been living with them the whole time. Yep. Now like her brothers or her father, somebody's trying to like move in and stay with them. Like, man,
you know why? Let me tell you why.
It's their culture.
I sir, it's their culture. That is true. Their families actually do stick together. I mean, all families do, but you know.
Yeah.
It's more prevalent in their culture.
Yeah.
She don't want to be a single mama. That's what it boils down to, honestly.
Can't blame him.
She done got out there and had a kid by this dude. She talking crazy to him, expecting him to and talking all out the side of her face. Now he like, man, fuck this. I ain't got to deal with this. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for somebody to have my back and lift me up and this, that, and the other. You sound here talking crazy. I ain't finna do that.
Hey, what's that I've been saying since season one? We handle and deal with our kids and our pets. We don't want to have to handle or deal with our spouse, our partner, none of that. Like, you supposed to be my peace, not make me want to choke your ass and come into the water.
I come home to a house and motherfuckers arguing all goddamn day about the least tiny little bitty stuff that don't even matter, that you can probably handle yourself or get some advice on without talking crazy to me. And we just keep it moving.
Yep.
Everything ain't finna be a fucking argument in my house.
No.
And that's what it sounds like that was going on in their household. You know, stuff get leaked out and she say this and he say this and blah, blah, blah. But it's crazy to me that they are. Like I said, I saw that the real. The show that she was on, I think that's the name of it, The Real. Yeah. And she professing her love and he doing stuff and she just going all overboard with it. And after 2 years and you got a baby involved and now all of a sudden now you want to scale it back and this, that, and the other. This is my personal opinion. I don't think she wants... Now that she realized she got a kid, she got to take care of the kid. She don't want to be a single mom. That's just it to me. And I don't blame her, but you got to change your way, ma'am.
I was about to say a lot
you
of
change it. Change how you talk, ma'am.
Because, I mean, I ain't going to lie. She bad, you know. So a lot of the bad ones feel like that somebody going to always deal with or put up with whatever the hell they got going on just because the way they look. But guess what, baby? Beauty fade eventually.
It ain't worth my peace, baby. It ain't worth my peace. That's for damn sure. I'm not going to be locked up in a room separated from my whole household and I can't walk around and be at peace. I'm not doing that at all.
Look, they got a baby. He should be able to walk around butt naked, hanging and swinging. You know what I'm saying? Like.
So, fellas, when I say this and I mean this, and Jeezy, I think Jeezy saw this show, man. Because he know damn well I ain't putting up with this shit. Shout out to Jeezy, man. He put up with this shit from no woman, man. This woman, man. Look, man, in his status, in his position in life right now, all he got to do is walk out the door dressed. And when I say women be falling, draping, DMing, whatever you want to call it, at him, come on, bro. Ain't he a part of that game? Come on, bro. Stop. Stop, Jenny May. You know better. You should know better. If you've been in the culture that long, like Rick said, you ought to know. I don't know his character. I can't say if he's good or bad, whatever, but you got to think of something that if a dude say, I'm out of this bitch because she talking crazy to me, dude is at peace. That's what it sounds like to me. Mm-hmm. And he ain't finna let that get upset by nobody, not even his baby mama slash wife. So that's that on that. And to be honest, in this day and time, I'm not surprised by anything that goes on in the entertainment business when it comes to men and women getting together, marriage slash divorce. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Hell no, nah, boy. They be running through them nowadays.
Right. Right. And to me, I'm not finna be out here telling the whole world on Instagram and Facebook and whatever that I'm in love with this chick and she the best thing for me and I can't live without her and she does it for me. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, what happened? You didn't see the red flags? Jeez. Or Jenny May? Y'all didn't see the red flags? Whoever's pointing the finger at who?
Hey, but you know, they do say people change whenever, once they get married. But I read something to where she said, and I'm sure it was probably early on in the relationship, that he would have to check her a lot because she'd have a bad attitude and, you know, be talking slick or whatever. And he'd have to check her and be like, hey, we ain't doing that.
You saw that on the show. You saw that on the talk show when she talked all out.
Yeah, she did say, yeah, that's where it was. Right. And I read.
And that. I'm like, come on now. We see this stuff and we choose to ignore it, thinking we can change these people. And we can't change them. This is ingrained stuff that's been with them since childhood.
Don't I know it?
So come on. We stop trying to be Captain Save a Girl. I changed the words on it. or Captain Save a Guy.
Like Project Pay said, don't save her. She don't want to be saved.
Right. They don't want to be saved. They want to be as they are, and they expect somebody to put up with as they are.
Lack of accountability.
Exactly. Come on now.
You can't hold them. We're gonna have an episode on that too, boy. You can't hold them accountable, boy. Hey, because if you do, you wrong.
It's a wrap. It's gonna be some feet. It's gonna be some pushback. It's gonna be some oh hell no. It's gonna be some you can't talk to me like that. It's gonna be a whole lot of that. So get ready for that. But yeah, we're gonna talk about that. But Jenny May and Jeezy with the new kid, I hope and pray that y'all get y'all shit together.
That's yeah, just, hopefully they can work it out, though, because, right. You know.
We got too much stuff out here.
I don't want to see no family, you know.
Split up over some words. So, no matter how, well, I ain't going to say no matter how harsh they are, but
yeah,
harsh words. I mean, if that's all it was, I mean, when nobody putting their hands on each other and all that little stuff, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You can probably get over that. But if it's an ongoing everyday thing, then I'm not feeling that. But back to Deion Sanders. So everybody know he went to Colorado. He brought his Louis with him. He brought his sons and his daughter. And Shallow's out there. Shadur's out there. I forgot the other kid's name, but the other son is Junior. The media guy.
That's his junior is the media guy.
Okay. Junior's doing all the media. And the daughter's out there as well. And here's the thing for me. And I'm piggybacking off a lot of the analysts that have been talking about this for the last 4 weeks, a month, because He wasn't supposed to win no games. Colorado wasn't supposed to win nothing. You got 85% of your roster coming from a transfer portal. After you done sent everybody away for lack of production and all this other stuff. And you build your program year one out of the transfer portal. You doing something. You actually doing something. And you get 3 wins. Because we this is week four for that's week four for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
3 out of 4 ain't bad.
3 out of 4 ain't bad. And here's my problem with this whole Deion thing. And I keep hearing this from all the sportscasters and the analysts and all the shows all across the nation. They talking about how Deion is and how he's been this way since day one. And he don't talk crazy to nobody and this, that, and the other. My problem is we got coaches out here talking crazy about this dude or inferring to some stuff that he's doing. And they taking it the wrong way and they want to clap back at it. And then, like, in this famous phrase, y'all making it personal. Every game, y'all making it personal. Now, Deion had a good quote that he said at the end of this game from Oregon. They just lost to blowout game. But, I mean, I think a lot of people believe that they was going to win, but it's a bunch of them was not believing that he wasn't going to win against Oregon.
Now, what it is we knew he wasn't going to win. We knew he wasn't going to win, but we wanted to believe that he could win.
I wanted it to be a Colorado State type game.
Yeah, yeah.
True enough, you win, but you ain't going to win in dominant fashion like Oregon did with them.
Yeah.
So my problem is we got these coaches out here, like the Colorado State guy, Jay Norvell, I think his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Black head coach. Talking crazy about sunglasses and hats and when he addressed folks, that they take all this stuff off before he addressed these folks, so forth and so on. Why are you taking pot shots, bro? From one black coach to another, this guy coming in with flash, coming in with viewers, he coming in with clicks, he coming in with likes, he coming in with followers.
No, that wasn't the Oregon coach that said that about the glass.
No. This is Colorado State. I'm going back to him first.
Oh, okay.
Colorado State. So Colorado State guy, Jay Norville, talking about the glasses and the hats and when he addressed folks and that's what he do. That's what his mama didn't raise him to be, blah, 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 so forth, so on. He inferring that Deion's mama, which I saw the behind the scene footage on that, saying that he didn't raise him right. And his mama, you know, hey, I raised him right. And I told him, you need to be you no matter what. And if you got to kick ass, kick ass. That's what the mama said. Deion don't cuss, but the mama do evidently.
It's crazy that he don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially and like
playing in the NFL.
Right. But here's the thing. And like Deion has always said, I'm not that guy that go out there and talk crazy or say something bad about another guy or say something bad about that player, the coach, whatever. He's still maintaining that degree of excellence no matter what. Problem is, you got all these coaches out here talking crazy about him. He didn't come up through the ranks of you know, the college OC / whatever. He didn't come up through the ranks. He just went out there and got the job. And they pissed about that. They pissed about that whole fact that Colorado, which nobody knew nothing about last year, we finding out all this stuff now about last year. It was a 1-win team last year. Before that, they wasn't even
on the radar.
Wasn't even relevant. But now we talking about Colorado. And if it was me coaching against Deion Sanders with my team, I'm embracing all of the hoopla. I'm embracing all of the, like this last coach said, all of the clicks, all of the likes, all of the followers, all of the everything. Because you know what? That's going to help out my program in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, hey, bro, I know Deion. And here's the funny thing about this whole thing, Rick. We got top TV folks going out here to Colorado. ESPN, fucking Fox, all these folks going out to Colorado. They ain't never been out there. I mean, not the NFL, but the college football game day program. I mean, all this stuff is going out. And they going back out there next week.
I know.
The USC game.
I know.
And they just lost.
Yep.
And they still going out there. Come on, bro. But for a black head coach to talk bad about another black head coach, to make him seem inferior because he didn't come out the way you did, and he been in the system for the 30 plus years, and Deion come and get the job right off the rip, and you a head coach though.
Ain't you supposed to want easier for the people that come behind you?
Right.
Ain't you supposed to want more people that look like you in that position?
You wants to train people more. So if you do get a position, you leave it better than what you left it or how you got it. That's just me. Yep. Leave it better than how you got it. I mean, you talking crazy, bro. Why are you talking crazy? I don't understand that. That's that crab in the barrel mentality. And you hate to see this guy excel and exceed over something that you've been doing for 35 plus years. You ain't got nobody following you at Colorado State, bruh. And we just found out about Colorado State rivalry.
And I think that's what a lot of them don't like is the fact they know that he's going to be able to pull top recruits and, you know, it's going to come. But if you look at it, a lot of the people he could pull probably wasn't going to be looking at your school anyways. They're going to be looking at the Alabamas, the Florida, the Florida right. States, you know, right. the Texas, LSU. Right. Like, them to play it, not ones that's going to come to Colorado State. Like,
or Colorado, for that matter.
Yeah. Like he might pull a player that was looking into Oregon.
Yep.
You know, like, so I can see that coach kind of feeling some type of way. But, bro, Colorado State.
But here's the thing.
Like, y'all ain't getting the same player anyway.
Correct. And, like, I saw Joy Taylor yesterday on Speak, and she was saying that.
Is it Wednesday? Because, boy, that's WCW right there, boy.
Woo-hoo. Oh, man. Woo-hoo. The thing is, Joy Taylor said, Deion ain't going to get all of the players. It's going to be plenty of top talent out there in the field that y'all can recruit. Why y'all going after him and his methods of how he recruiting and getting people to come out there when it's plenty of people out there to get? Plenty of players out there to get. Everybody going to be looking at Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, South Carolina, all the SEC teams, Michigan, Ohio State. Whatever. Everybody ain't going to them schools.
Hey, and the thing about it, the NIL money done changed the game.
Exactly.
Like, because without the NIL, Deion probably wouldn't have. Well, I ain't going to say it. I don't mean it like that, but it's
college, somewhat the true. The transfer portal being open and kids can go anywhere now, Deion would be.
He probably wouldn't have. Without the NIL and them getting without NIL money. It would still be harder for him to get the top tier players. But now, because of the NIL, you could pull a Travis Hunter to Jackson State. Yep. You know, now you can bring people along with you because, you know, Colorado got more money than Jackson State with the boosters and all that other stuff. So, so it's just like that levels the playing field a little more. They weren't worried about him when he was pulling Travis Hunter, like, it upset the industry a little bit by him pulling Travis Hunter, but they like he ain't gonna be able to get all the top players. Now here at Colorado, now he got access to more players. The thing is,
nobody knew about Travis Hunter prior to Jackson State. Nobody had a clue about it. Nobody when Deion stepped foot on Jackson State University field and saw these players, hey bro. I'm going to need you to come on with me because we got some work to do out in Colorado. Hey, bro. Yeah, let's go. Oh, yeah, the transfer portal open? Yeah, let's go. Hit that portal so we can get up out of here. Mm-hmm. And you telling these guys, this is Deion telling these guys, I'm making y'all excellent. And if y'all want to go to the NFL, I'm going to do everything in my power to get you the shine you need in order to get to the NFL. You can't make that statement as a Colorado State coach. You can't make that statement as a Nebraska coach. You cannot make that statement as an HBCU coach at all. I ain't never seen an HBU coach say, hey, you come here and I'm going to get you all the shine you need at an HBCU to go to the NFL. I've never seen it. And they just now opening up the scout program for the HBCU. They got their own separate thing for the NFL. Dion.
Yeah.
Come on now. The man is putting up, he said, hey, I'm going to do this. And he's backing up what he said.
Yeah.
But we and our culture, some of us, not all of us, are still dogging this man for helping these kids out to get where they want to go.
I saw something on Facebook after the Oregon game. It was, yeah. And somebody was like, talking about, can we stop calling him Prime now? And I'm just like, he been Prime since the 80s, bro. Like, right. What are you he talking about? It's not, I was like, that's how I know you're not a true follower of football, because, nope. And the guy is my same age, because we came up together. And I'm just like, that's how you know you're not a real football fan, because nobody's calling him Prime because what he doing coaching. They calling him Prime because what he did on the field. Correct. Like, he's been called Prime since the 80s. Ain't correct. Nobody going to stop calling him Prime now. He's been Prime since the 80s, bro. Like, I was like, bro, you starting to show your true colors, my guy.
And ignorance, for that matter. There's two sport athletes that I know for a fact that excelled at what they did. Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. Two sport athletes. And they was killing it.
Yeah.
The only thing is, Bo Jackson didn't play both sides of the ball. And Deion did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, bro. Whoever you are, snap out of it. Now, is it Ryan Clark? Yeah, Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark. He's on ESPN, I think, or Fox or whatever. He made a statement that these coaches out here are trying to whoop out and make Deion look bad because they want to drag him down and make him look like he don't know what he's doing so they can get him fired, so forth and so on. Now, I'm ad-libbing and all this stuff on Ryan Clark's state. Actually, I'm embellishing because I'm adding a little bit to it too. My problem is with that is, like Deion said, I'm not out there playing. I'm a coach.
Yeah, he was like, if I'm out there, I'm going to have a chance to win.
We'll be dominating if I was out there. That's exactly what he said. That's word for word. But everybody's trying to make this man look bad for doing something that coaches should be doing, is setting your players up for success. That's bottom line. And that's what you want to do for your team.
And I feel like there's nothing that they can do in his first year that's going to get him fired.
No.
Because
Colorado's in for the long haul, bro.
They know it's going to take at least 3 to 5 years to turn the program around, right?
Right.
All right, 3 to 5 years to turn the program around. But year one, you've already got more wins than you did last year.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
And so, you're on the map. Worldwide map. We ain't talking about just nationally. You worldwide map.
And they have the highest ticket sales, the highest price for ticket sales in college football because of all the hype. First time ever they sold out all season tickets. And their program prices are the highest. So Deion bringing them all the money. So he's worth everything they spent to get him. And all the scholarships they gave out to get the players he wanted to get. He's brought back probably every penny of that.
Exactly what he said.
Four games.
Correct. He's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. I'm coming. I'm bringing my Louis with me. I'm bringing my kids with me. We're going to turn this program around. We're not going to be a 1-10 team like last year. I'm coming to dominate. I want excellence. I want everything out of my players. I want to do everything I can for my players to make them shine in order for them to get the best type of lifestyle that they want when they get up out of here. And it ain't all about playing football, because he benching folks for not passing classes and going to classes and whatever. So he's hitting it from both ends. So everybody ain't going to make it to the NFL. And he already told these kids that.
And it's so like,
in order for you, yeah, go ahead.
Like he been saying since he went to Jackson State.
Yeah.
The main thing he tell these boys' mama and some of their daddies, but we all know most of them come from single parent households, is you give me your boy and I'll send you home a man.
Yep.
Like I would be so right there. Like my nephews play football, right? And one of them, he would tell me, like, one of the schools he wanted to go to or whatever. I was like, bro, if you get a chance to go to Colorado, bro, you got to go. Like if Prime wants you, you going. I was like, hey, you going.
Versus Alabama or Tennessee, when you just a product to be put out on the field.
Yep.
And you got motherfucking college players out here that's been in school for 7-8 years and they ain't got a degree, but they national champions. Out of Georgia. I'm gonna throw that tidbit in there too. How can you be in college for 7 years and not get a degree? But you're a national champion. Two-time national champion.
You're eligible to play football though. That's what I'm
bruh. And that's the part I don't understand. And that's the part I don't agree with. When you go to college, true enough, sports is huge. But it's not supposed to take care or take the place of a degree. But you go to college for a degree.
That's how you know he know that he's not NFL caliber, because
He got signed. Somebody signed him. For real? He's on the NFL team, yeah.
Really?
He's backup. Yeah.
Oh, I ain't know that.
But the point is, and once again, like Deion, I'm quoting Deion again, told his son, you ain't going to the NFL next year. I got things to do for you. And I don't want you to go number 2 or number 3 or number 5 or number 10 behind the competition that's out there now. Because we already know that the guy at SC, Caleb Williams, is going number 1 overall. Yeah. He's a quarterback. He's going number 1 overall. Why would you settle for second place like Deion said?
It ain't like you need the money. I mean...
Correct. Look, you got an NIL. You got a couple of NIL deals,
and it ain't like your family not broke. So you had money. You had money before you even had the NIL deal.
True.
I mean, imagine being what is he, second year quarterback and driving around in a Maybach?
Yeah, bro, come on now. Stop playing.
Imagine pulling up on a college campus in a Maybach.
Imagine pulling up in Colorado with a Maybach. And like some of the analysts say, that ain't that many black people out in Colorado, especially the Boulder area.
I'm just sure, saying. Look, majority of the students that are black probably playing on the football team.
And they was brought in from other places. So, I mean, come on now. I mean, Deion doing everything he said he's going to do. And he said, and I'm going to quote him again, because he said he got about 7 or 8 more pieces that he need before he can be dominating the Pac-10 or Pac-12 or whatever it is.
Shit, about 3 or 4 of them is that offensive line.
He got the offensive line and the defensive line. He wants to shore that up to make sure that he don't get ran on and that he can open up holes for his running backs on offense.
Boy, Oregon shut their running game down.
Yeah, they manhandled this guy. So they too small. They weren't built for that type of even though it's a Power 5 school, and let's put that out there. Colorado is a Power 5 school. His line is not built Power 5 wide. So that's one of the downfalls of recruiting out of the transfer portal first year. You get all the scraps. You make the scraps work. But given our history as a people, scraps taste good. Hey, we make scraps taste good.
One year when I coached basketball, we got all the players nobody wanted, and we lost one game.
Yeah.
We lost one game out of, I think
you,
we had
you know
12.
How to do that. You know how to season it. You know how to make it right. You know how you put the right person in the right spot, this, that, and the other, and you just make it work. Now, that's what Deion is. That's how he got three wins so far now. He playing to everybody's strength, which is what he should be doing as a coach. Now, this good old-fashioned butt-kicking, as he said, after the Oregon game, just proves the fact that his line on both sides is not ready to go. But I'm pretty sure next year or the year after, he shut it down.
Yeah.
Ain't going to be no question about it. He's going to shut it down. So I had to touch on both of those because it's crazy to me that we as a people are tearing this man down and he's not doing it the traditional way. Deion, we're talking about Deion still. He's not doing it the traditional way. He come in and work his way up through the ranks and he follows under Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Dabo Sweeney and all these folks that's been head coaches. And that's how it works in the coaching world. You get your OC and your DC and train them up and see how they do. And then you send them off to be head coaches somewhere else, like Nick Saban did. He just got the whooping on Kiffin this past weekend.
Well, imagine how pissed off people would be if Deion was to get an NFL head coaching job right away.
He ain't going to the NFL. He already said he ain't going to the NFL.
I know. I'm just saying.
He make too much money. They won't listen. That's what he told. So, I'm glad that he is doing it his own way and not going up through the ranks and being put off and keep being put off and keep getting put off and bouncing everywhere. People actually came to him and said, hey, bro, we need your talent. We need your strength. We need your leadership. We need your guidance with our program. And they actually hunting him down and talking to him versus he out here applying for stuff. That shows you this man got something.
He was trying to get on at Florida State before he even got the Jackson State job, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I know
he applied for some places, but.
Yeah, and they were like, nah. And now look at him.
Yeah. So I like that. He's doing it the way that he wants to do it, and he's breaking these traditional roles of all the stuff that they got going on with the whole coaching thing. And he's got a great coaching staff. And Sapp's supposed to be coming out there with him once he get his paperwork done, which is going to be phenomenal.
Hey, I seen that. Boy, hey.
Warren Sapp is in college right now.
If he gets some dogs.
Warren Sapp is in college right now getting his degree so he can actually go and work with Deion Sanders. That's the latest information I heard so far about this whole Colorado deal.
It was and one I'm person, it. Too. I can't remember who it is, but it was one yeah. more I heard because it's Sapp and yeah. somebody else.
Yeah. He trying to get as much influence in the NFL back down to his squad so they can actually you not only have the knowledge that you can take from these guys because they've been in the league for 10 plus, 12 plus, 13 plus years, but you can actually get you a foot in the door with, hey, you can come look at my guy here, Colorado, because
yep.
What's his name with him? Brady is the mentor for his son. So Tom Brady, to have that card in your back pocket to say, Tom Brady was my mentor and he showed me how to do this and he showed me how to do this and I hang out with him over the spring and blah, blah, blah. That's huge.
Yeah. But just imagine though, as a D lineman, And I think that one of the reasons why he's trying to load his staff up with former players is because if I was playing D-line, why would I not listen to Sapp? You know, if it was, say, me out there coaching D-lineman, right? All right, cool. You ain't never played in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. Yep. Yeah, yep. We hear you. It's our job to listen to you. But you replace me with Warren Sapp?
Yep.
That's motivation because yep. he's done everything that he's done.
He's been in it. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got a gold jacket. He's got a Super Bowl on his belt. And here's the other thing that nobody cares to mention about this as well. You get all these coaching people, former players, to the coaching level. Guess what? They're going to have to go, if they choose to, get some schools to coach for. So he injected Black athletes/coaches into the coaching world of college.
Yep.
I think it's like, I think Skip Bayless said something. It's like 17 out of 100 and some odd schools that got black head coaches. However many schools is out there, 100 plus schools, only 17 of them got black head coaches, which puts us at a disadvantage in the college coaching world. So you inject that talent as well. Coach, you see Coach Sapp going to a whole school and saying, hey, I got your program. He going to do the same thing. Hey, bro, come on down here. Hey, Rondé, come on down here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, bro, come on down here. Show these corners how they supposed to be doing it. Hey, bro, I got the defense, Paul, because I can shoot this. Hey, get that quarterback that used to be Sean King, Josh Freeman. I mean, you name any kind of football player that knows anybody and networks with anybody, he's injecting that into the system,
yep.
Which is beautiful to see. And as far as we know, this is the way it should be. Once you get in and get set up and get established, I ain't even necessarily say reach back. Reach out to somebody and say, hey, bro, come holler at me. Come work with me. Let me put you on. Let me put you up. And you go on and do your thing at another school. Or if I decide to leave, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave the keys to you. Keep that tradition going.
Like how he did old boy at Jackson State.
Correct.
He took over.
Correct. It's the same. We don't have that mentality. A lot of us, let me go say all of us. Some of us don't have that mentality. Some of us don't want to see the next man win. And that's the sad part about it. You think your job is in jeopardy, blah, 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 so forth, so on. If your job is in jeopardy, you ain't doing something right. Do better. But that's the thing I like about Deion and everybody else that's in his camp. They reaching out saying, hey, bro, come on. Come get some of this love. Come get some of this juice. So if I decide to leave Colorado, if I get fired from Colorado or whatever, I can leave the keys to you and you can run this thing on. And I can go on somewhere else and do something else. Which is what other people do. They set up for legendary type stuff and they leave the keys for somebody and it just keep going on and on and on and on. I like it, but we don't have that mentality. Some of us, I ain't gonna say all of us, some of us don't have that mentality. Which is crazy. I want to see somebody win. I want to see somebody do better. I want to see somebody get out there and get it and enjoy the fruits of their labor like he did or I did. But yeah. That's just me.
Hey, we can go on about this all day. Look,
yeah,
hey,
I'm done, bro. Look,
stay tuned. We've been talking about it. We got to come out with a Man Talk Sports.
Yeah,
We got to.
We got to. We're going to have some of the guys on. We're going to talk about sports, be it college football or pro. I'm more of a pro guy, but yeah. I'm getting into this college thing for a little bit. So we'll talk about it. With all that being said, hey, look, once again, I'm going to say this every single time. Hey, be your person's person. If your guy or girl is having mental health issues, set them up for success. Like we just got through talking about. Get them in touch with a counselor. Or get them in touch with somebody that can help them out mentally. That's all I got, man. It's been real. First episode, season 3 in the books. Aye. We'll holler at y'all when we see y'all.
And we gonna hit y'all with the topics y'all like to hear.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I already got a couple on.
You got a couple of them already, so we're gonna have to run through that real quick too. Hey, we're gonna see y'all when we all see y'all. Y'all be good, be safe. We're gonna holler at y'all next week. Peace.